This is Radio Tisnus International with a very limited edition of the RTI Sunday Special due to the RTI host's current workload, expected to remain unchanged until mid-November, at which point we hope to be back with a somewhat more comprehensive broadcast. Meanwhile, please enjoy this Sunday's edition. This is Radio Tisnus International with today's weather report. Good morning. What can I say? The weather is absolutely gorgeous. Currently with a clear sky and 17 degrees centigrade, expected to rise to the neighborhood of 20 with fair weather throughout the afternoon and a clear sky again tonight. A light breeze from a mainly southern direction all day. I'm terribly sorry, but we're going to have to abort the Sunday special for now due to continued issues with Anchor's clipper function, seeing as this week's RTI Sunday special in part consists of recorded material to be uploaded via the clipper, as well as YouTube and SoundCloud Music not uploading. We'll be back as soon as we hear news of improvements. And we're back. Terribly sorry about that, but you know, acts of God and all that jazz. Much as the sun pours its warming beams onto the beautiful island of Tysnes, I cannot help but feel a little downcast over the fact that it will be overcast before long, and, of course, by the current anchor clipper issues limited to audio imported from external resources such as YouTube and SoundCloud, it would seem. So we'll just have to make do with Spotify and iTunes music then. We apologize for the delay. As already mentioned, the RTI staff would like to extend its profuse apologies for the very abridged RTI Sunday special due to other commitments preventing it from providing a satisfactory broadcast. Sadly, this is, with all likelihood, going to be the case for at least a couple of months. We would, however, like to give praise to Lulu Island and Paul Lomani for adding value to this week's Sunday special with excellent reporting and call-ins. In fact, Ms. Lulu's report makes up the entire world news section. So again, thank you so much, guys. You are lifesavers. Local news. Last week, RTI reported on the local political party's failure to attend a debate organized by the Tysnes Youth Council, to which only the Labour Party had confirmed its attendance, let alone even replied. In later news, it would appear that all parties except one will be attending the debate, taking place at the Tysnes Comprehensive School for pupils up to and including fifth form. While only one of the local parties declined, there are other political parties not even locally represented, such as the Socialist Left Party, the Green Party, the Communist Party, and other minor parties. The one local party not able to muster a debate attendance is the Liberal Party. During driver training last Wednesday night, a woman and two children aged 17 and 10, among whom the former training for the upcoming driver's license, drove off the road near Eppland. The car remained unstably positioned after the accident, with all three passengers inside, waiting for the assistance of the Tysnes Fire Brigade, who managed to stabilize the car and send the family off to the Stord Hospital to tend to minor injuries. We should expect marching band, cake and balloons on Tuesday as the far-right Progress Party Minister of Agriculture and Food, Mr. Jon Georg Dahle, visits Tysnes, including the mandatory expedition to fish farming corporation Alsaker Fjordbruk's Onarheim headquarters. The minister himself is a farm boy born and bred, with a past as sheep farmer and meat cutter.
RTI brings EYSN to the world.
RTI World News. In lieu of RTI's own material due to the staff's attendance to other matters, we are extremely proud to present this field report from RTI's Brisbane correspondent in Queensland, Australia, the incomparable Ms. Lulu Island. Ms. Lulu, pray tell, what is going on?
So you were a taxi driver for 21 years. And did you own the cab?
I used to own a car and lease license.
Right.
There are different
levels, aren't there?
Yeah, like I am owning this car and I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not license.
What do you think about the change with Uber? Do you think it's better? Do you think that the people, like taxis really got screwed because... Mm. You know, like they're able to exploit the market because... What do you reckon?
All right. First of all, I have better customer with Uber. Why I'm saying that? Because you know that you are going to pay the fare.
Mm-hmm.
There is no escape.
Oh, yeah.
Then those people, they respect themselves and they know that this is job. Not to get...
Like if you're saying that, like you feel because now it's all like a digital transaction and so you don't have people running off and ripping you off or trying to steal your money, that makes you feel so much safer. And even though you might get less money from Uber, it's actually like you feel a lot safer. I mean, it's worth it, like worth the less having less money for feeling safety.
If I want to work harder, I can get more money. It's depend about me. I can make more money or less money.
Okay.
In general, very close. In general, very close. Then, with Uber, I'm getting safer. Even I don't have camera, but with the system, it make it safer.
They know where you are all the time. They've got the new technology.
And I have all the information for my... I'd like to pick him up. Straight away, I cancel the job.
Yeah, so you have more autonomy with the customer and you also know you have their details. What? If something were to go wrong, then it's all just there. Mm. So there's a lot more transparency. Mm. So, okay. So there any... not this one. It's really tricky. You've got to go to the end here and then you've got to kind of go dip down to the right. Yeah, it's really weird.
Go straight here to the right, yeah?
Yeah, down to the right. Yeah. It's crazy. It's like a rabbit warren.
Yeah, it's all right.
But it gives its own kind of safety because... So we turn right. It gets trickier. So, see, it splits in two, but we need to go down the right-hand side.
The right-hand side?
Yeah, because it doesn't join up at the end.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Many a cab driver has been lost here. And that concludes the undercover reporting by Lulu Island. We get the perspective of the taxi driver turned Uber driver, where normally one would expect there to be complaints and gripes, but actually there are changes to the system that make it safer and less stressful for drivers that seem to outweigh some of the other issues, such as the loss of income. This has been Lulu Island reporting for Radio Tisnes International. Thank you for listening.
Thanks a million, Lulu. That was great reporting. A very interesting report indeed. How strange, though, to hear how an Uber driver feels safer than a conventional cabbie. We live in interesting times indeed. I wonder where it ends. Radio stations run by private citizens? Well, that'll be the day. Thank you again, Lulu. Invaluable content as per usual.
Norwegian untranslatability.
Welcome to the RTI series on utterly untranslatable Norwegian words, courtesy of the Matador Network.
This week's word is Hawaii football. Hawaii football, spelt HAWAIIFOTBALL. This one is oddly specific, referring to the sport of football, soccer to some. Hawaii football arises when both teams lug the ball back and forth haphazardly, never really gain control and can't sustain an attack or any sort of coordinated play for more than 15 seconds. Typically, this happens when both teams have stopped caring and or have a lapse in concentration. If you think about it, though, it can be used to describe most sports. In basketball, when the game is locked locked into teams scoring in succession, and every single attempt is getting through. In American football, when teams are racking up three and outs like there was no tomorrow, every team sport has situations like this.
RTI Caller's Corner.
RTI, how may I help you?
Jarla, I love that Texas choir. The Eyes of Texas. Love it so much that I clicked on the link to YouTube. I read the information about when it was recorded. I liked it. And I subscribed to them. So I can't do any more other than replay it. Don't know the song at all. And, Welsh choirs, fantastic stuff. I do love choral music. Choirs, yeah.
Hello again, Paul. Yes, that song immediately sprung to mind on witnessing the US president and the other officials congratulating each other on a job well done in the very outset of the Texan Harvey disaster, thinking, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I bet the Texans are watching them closely too. But I concur, also a great song. In an attempt at explaining RTI's reduced anchor activity, we broadcast the following segment the other day, including an excerpt from the book causing the RTI near hiatus. While it was not an attempt to invite discussions over the Middle East conflicts, such discussions are indeed unavoidable once the words Israel or Palestine have been uttered. Then, of course, it is a very delicate subject involving strong opinions on either and all sides. While I hold opinions of my own, the RTI newsroom has decided that it won't use RTI or Anchor as a forum for such discussions. Unbeknownst to Mr. Paul Omani, who submitted a couple of questions in the waves following this one. Hello, all. Just a quick segment, well, quick. I suspect it is going to last for a couple of minutes. Anyway, just to say,
or to reiterate
what I've mentioned on a couple of occasions, that work is most likely going to prevent me from anchoring much for the next couple of months. Although I will try on occasion. It's all due to the translation of a book that I'm holding in my hands this very moment called 10 Myths About Israel, written by an Israeli Jew and historian, challenging what he refers to as misconceptions and fallacies regarding the state of Israel and Palestine. Quite thought-provoking stuff, I must say. And just to give you an idea, I thought I'd quote an excerpt from a passage. Here goes. The first chapter charts Palestine on the eve of the arrival of Zionism in the late 19th century. The myth is the depiction of Palestine as an empty, arid, almost desert-like land that was cultivated by the arriving Zionists. The counter-argument reveals a thriving pre-existing society undergoing accelerated processes of modernization and nationalization. The myth of Palestine being a land without people has its correlate in the famous myth of the people without the land, the subject of chapter 2. Were the Jews indeed the original inhabitants of Palestine, who deserved to be supported in every way possible in their quote-unquote return to their quote-unquote homeland? The myth insists that the Jews who arrived in 1882 were the descendants of the Jews expelled by the Romans around 70 CE. The counter-argument questions this genealogical connection. Quite a hefty scholarly effort has shown that the Jews of Roman Palestine remained on the land and were first converted to Christianity and then to Islam. Who these Jews were is still an open question. Maybe the Khazars, who converted to Judaism in the 9th century, or maybe the mixture of races across a millennium precludes any answer to such a question. More importantly, I argue in this chapter that in the pre-Zionist period, the connection between the Jewish communities in the world and Palestine was religious and spiritual, not political. Associating the return of the Jews with statehood before the emergence of Zionism was a Christian project until the 16th century, and thereafter a specifically Protestant one. Now, food for thought, isn't it? I'm not going to dwell on it, and, well, while I do have my own thoughts and ideas, I'm not going to convey them. I'm not quoting this to pass on a message, just to give you an idea what I'm working on. But as I said, I will try to post something on Tisnes every now and then. Bye.
Nihil sine labore. Nothing but work, eh? Ahead of you. Well, Jarla, I have such an interest in the book that you're translating that it would be difficult for me to exaggerate my hope that you'll read more from it as time goes by, and that I will be able to get my hands on it after it's translated. A couple of things came into my mind. One, I do hope that Svi and Barbara KB both hear this, because they've had some very interesting discussions about this going back a long time ago. I would love to read it alongside a book called O Jerusalem, and the diaries of Theodor Herzl. I also am not going to outline my ideas. I've been to Israel. It's another story. In the 1970s, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Haifa, the Golan, Masada, Dead Sea, Jerusalem, oh, I forgot, Kibbutz Beit Alpha, Tel Aviv, back to London, 2 weeks, one of the great experiences of my life. Oh, I should have said I was at Yad Vashem and bawled my eyes out. What else? Yes, incredibly interested. Keep up the good work. And thanks a million.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for calling in. You know, I'm extremely interested in this subject too. One that I have to admit is hard pressed to find a solution in our lifetime anyway. But the author, the Israeli Jew and historian Ilan Papper, is raising some very interesting issues, questioning widespread fallacies both in Israel and in the West. I'm not translating it into English, though, rather from English to Norwegian, not as a third-party translation, I think, as it is my understanding that it wasn't originally written in Hebrew, but published in English by the UK publishing house Verso, V-E-R-S-O, not long ago this year. But I'll try to give an account of similarly interesting passages if and when time permits. Thank you also for the recount of your visit to Israel. I'd like to visit too. You know, some seem to equate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, as if you hate Jews because you're critical of the way the state of Israel treats its own Palestinian population and those living in occupied territories. It's such a terrible shame and a subject that I look forward to study closer during the weeks to come. Incidentally, I seem to have translated some 7% of the book so far. But then, you know, there's cross-checking this, cross-checking that, not to mention the proofreading. But I like it. Thanks again, Paul. Talk to you later. Well, that, for the most part, concludes this week's RTI Sunday special. What you hear at the moment is yours truly trying to separate slices of cabbage from a huge, huge cabbage with a cleaver. I'm preparing today's family dinner. Well, that is the dinner for my wife and myself. Our 14-year-old daughter has turned vegetarian. You know how it is. So she'll have something different. It is a very traditional Norwegian dish, an autumn dish actually, called fårikål. Translates into mutton in cabbage with layers of cabbage, mutton, some flour in between to give it some texture, and lots of peppercorns on every layer.
into a fairly large saucepan, just leaving it to boil for quite some time, probably maybe I'd say an hour and a half, 2 hours, which incidentally leaves the house smelling, oh, I don't even want to go there, it smells terribly. Anyway, there we go. I'm sure many of my fellow anchorites have experienced a lot of problems with anchor glitches lately, not least the Clipper's inability to upload audio from external sources. I just received confirmation from Anchor that they are indeed aware of and are working on it, so that's a good thing. Having said that, I used to work as marketing manager in a large IT corporation, and if there's one thing, hopefully among many, that I learned during my years in IT, it's that bugs are reserved for better, maybe, alpha and pilot versions. Never for the release versions, and I have to say that bugs, more often than not, are included in all sorts of app releases. Dear providers and developers, enough of that, please.